We are the champions. We are the champions. Ooh, we are the champions
of the Chicago Bears podcast and shit. And we're back.
Why settle for court jesters when you can have three kings? Here are your hosts, Roy, Javari, and Dan. It's the Three Kangs of the Midway Podcast.
Everybody, welcome to the Three Kings of the Midway Podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, we are back. We are back like bra straps. It's been a minute. It's been a lot of stuff going on this offseason. It was crazy.
Been a long
and I'm glad, man. But it's kind of good though, because it was so much crazy stuff happening, man. And it was like week to week, people losing their minds, man. But we back, and it's a new era. We facing the Green Bay shit Packers.
yeah, man. I want us to stomp the everlasting shit out of them come Sunday. Like, I'm taking a day off from work. This is how much I hate them. I want to wallow in their misery. I want to piss in a nightmare. I hate them with a passion. I hate them with a true passion, bro. Like, I really want us to manhandle them and stomp the everlasting shit out of them. Seriously, they fans have been. They've been more of a nuisance than anything else on Twitter, on social media, on everything. It's just, you know, I don't know. They have this preconceived notion that they have the next NFL great at quarterback. I don't know what dust they've been snorting up their nose, you know.
That fentanyl.
Who knows what they've been doing, crushing up no-dos and snorting it. Who knows, man? You know, but they on some diabolical ill shit right now. And they just totally out of line with their disrespect to Justin Fields, violating on all phases. So we got to get them. We got to handle them.
Yeah, man. I'm being honest, bro. Like, and I try not to be disrespectful. Like, I don't fear Jordan Love. I'm the Chicago Bears. Like, nothing he's shown. Like, this whole offseason, they tried to prop that man up. Remember, like, I remember this because we used to do it with Mitch. They used to, like, do things. Like, I was reading their articles, bro, and they were like, he would have a rough practice. And then they would, like, have a do-over. They were like, no, let's do it again. You know, and, like, all of his stuff in the preseason, when he played the first-team defense, he struggled. And they kept him out there until the second and third string got out there. Then they would march down and score a touchdown. And then Packers Twitter would be like, oh, my God. It's so wonderful. And it was against a bunch of dudes on the practice squad right now hanging drywall.
Facts.
They were like four string dudes. Facts. These dudes were like, you know, and then, you know, and that's all they have. And I'm like, that dude did not show me anything that made me say, wow, that guy, that dude right there is like legit. He's the next, like Aaron Rodgers, bro. We knew Aaron Rodgers was good. He should have went number one overall. This ain't Aaron Rodgers part two.
Yeah.
You know, everybody knew the 49ers should have picked him.
But see, that's in their mind, that's what they thinking is, you know, that's what they thinking they got. Aaron Rodgers part two. Go from Favre to Rodgers to Love. Like, and they not supposed to miss a beat. It's going to be epic to watch them melt down the way that they're going to melt down on Sunday. It's going to be funny as all hell.
You got to realize, too, that, you know, while Jordan Love is, you know, is he going to be a decent quarterback? We don't know what he's going to be, right? I have my thoughts on the whole situation and everything. But, you know, this guy has been in tow with Green Bay for 3 years. So over the course of 3 years, what you're telling me is that he hasn't really stood out to anybody. Nobody's making, man, wow, we've seen some some crazy stuff out of this dude. We've seen him throw this pass or make this throw or do this in the huddle or whatever. You know, you think about quarterbacks that come in and they take over a huddle, they take over a locker room. Look at what Russell Wilson did in Seattle. Mm-hmm. It's a whole different situation, right? You think about Jordan Love, he's not setting the world on fire in that regard. So that lets me know that there's a lot to be desired when it comes to his skill set, how he plays the game of football, in my opinion. You know what I mean? So, you know, if he's not setting the world on fire, he's not drawing comparisons to somebody, or you don't hear guys coming out and just, you know, just talking great about him in glowing terms, then there's an issue. You know, this guy's been there for 3 years. They know who he is. Everybody knows it, right? So mm-hmm. at this point in time, to me, Green Bay almost looks like a whole rebuild process, right?
Absolutely.
You know, did they pick up the fifth-year option on him? I don't know if they did or not.
I believe
they did some. No, they did some extension where they gave him like an extra
they
year.
Gave him an extension?
Yeah, something like a one-year extension, bro.
You're right. They did do
yeah.
that.
So, yeah, there you have it then. There you have it. So, you know, you got a situation where, you know, Aaron Rodgers, he came in and everybody was like chomping at the bit for him to get into the game.
Mm-hmm.
And they want to, you know, go away, Brett Favre, go away. That's not what you heard from Packers camp, from fans, anybody this time around. They was trying to hang on to this dude. They was trying to appease Aaron Rodgers for as long as they possibly could.
Mm-hmm.
And that lets you know a lot about what you have backing him up or what you're about to go to next in the depth chart.
Also adding in just some of the stupid shit we used to hear or we was hearing the whole time, you know, air yards. Oh, he look at his air yards. His air yards. He only threw like what? Air yards?
He had -3 air yards.
Yeah. But the play went for 74 yards and a touchdown. It was -4 air yards. Like, where are y'all getting this shit from? This is where I say you fantasy football nerds is ruining the game. And you don't know ball, flat out. You just don't know ball. You can't, you know, and I'm starting to realize this the more and more, you know, I interact with people on Twitter. You know, they're fantasy football nerds. You know, they don't really know the game of football. They just know how fantasy football works. And
I don't even know if it's fantasy football in this case, though. I mean, I get what you're saying, and I agree with it.
Yeah.
But in this case, when you're talking about air distance traveled or whatever, I mean, the check down king is who they call the GOAT, and that's Tom Brady. Y'all know yeah. that. I've mm-hmm. always said that he checks it down. His last minute drives and stuff like that, it's all underneath. It's all beaten,
tight
you know,
ends,
a prevent
backs.
Defense. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? That's why it was never that impressive to me, in my opinion. A lot of people love him, and true enough, he just won Super Bowls and he did what needed to be done. But at the end of the day, it wasn't that impressive to beat a prevent defense, because I always say a prevent defense prevents the team that's playing that defense
win.
From winning the game.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. You know, I mean, it's okay for Aaron, you know, Aaron Rodgers. It's okay for Tom Brady. It's okay for all of these quarterbacks to check the ball down. But when Justin Fields does it, now all of a sudden we want to talk about air distance travel.
Man, Justin Herbert has one of the lowest yards per completion in the NFL. And everybody loves Justin Herbert. I like Justin Herbert, but, I mean, he doesn't – that was like – I was watching the Chargers game. They were saying that's what he has to improve on. He has a low yards per attempt. Even though he throws for a bunch of yards, there's a lot of he'll get like a couple of big plays, you know, that make sports center. But outside of that, there's a lot of short stuff. But Justin, right. Justin Fields has – he's usually one of the highest – I think last year he was one of the highest yards per attempt in NFL.
Yeah, he throws it downfield more than anybody, to be honest.
Mm-hmm. He needed to work on his short stuff. That was the good part.
Exactly.
They made that a point of emphasis, and if any of these idiot nerds paid attention to what coaches were saying, they said they want him to get better at intermediate throws. They want him to get better at the stuff underneath. Take what the defense gives you mm-hmm. sometimes instead of trying to hit that home run play every time. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, that's what he's worked on. So I don't see the problem with it. You know what I mean? But these are people who want to have something to be critical, who want to have skepticism, and they dream up these you know, illusions of you know, him being not a good quarterback and ways that they can kind of negate or take away from what he's able to do on the football field. And, you know, it, to me, it's kind of ridiculous. I wonder if they're really truly Bears fans, some of the people that actually do this stuff.
They're Bears fans, but they're Bears fans of a certain shade of quarterback. As you can see, when my man Bajent went out there and, you know, had his little performance,
yeah.
how Twitter was going nuts and saying, oh, this is our quarterback of the future. This is the guy by week five.
You got a guy that's 23 years old. You're talking about the quarterback of the future.
Yeah. And by week six, they'll be calling for Bajent to come in and be the quarterback of the Bears. And Justin Fields needs to get it together this season, and he needs to do this, and he needs to do that. And, you know, it's just wild, man. You know, and it's like we keep beating the same drum here. You know, we understand that Chicago is a very racist city, okay? It's very segregated. It's very divided, you know, and it's not a lot of diversity there, you know? You can go from the south side.
Still talking about Mitch is going to turn into a good quarterback.
Hey, exactly. Bro. And gave him 4 years, but can't give Justin Fields 3.
I gotta go. Somebody mentioned that today. We were, I think it was a boy Dominique, dude. We were like going, we were talking about it. This dude came out of nowhere. It was like, well, here it is right here. Neek Blanton. We were talking about Jordan Love. And I was like, I don't care how he looks in the preseason, because I seen Mitch Trubisky look good in the preseason. And some dude named at DC Coop 650 did hashtag Mitch was better.
Wow.
Like, and we were like, bro, it's still
Mitch Mafia out here, man. Still some Mitch Mafia.
And what kills me about it is, like, why is Mitch not starting somewhere? Why did he not get a, you know, he went to a backup position, then he went to another backup, then he re-signed with that same team as a backup again. Why is he not starting? What you know? Bro. Does everybody except for you, Mitch Mafia people, understand that he's not it? He's not that guy.
We've went from Mitch Mafia to the Bajent Badgers now. Seriously, to the Bajent Badgers, bro. Seriously, because people really are on that tip, thinking that this kid who is a developmental project at quarterback, just because he beat out, you know, PJ. And PJ was...
I mean, PJ had his issues. We knew that from game one, bro.
You know what I'm saying? Just because he beat out PJ.
All three of us said that. PJ is... Nah, you gotta go. I'd rather have Peterman.
Yeah, exactly. Than PJ Walker, you know? And, you know, some people were still like, oh, well, we need PJ. Nah, PJ's a scrub. You know, I'm not going to say he's a scrub, but he's not... He just didn't fit with this style of offense, right?
No.
And, you know, I made a post earlier where people are talking about, oh, well, Justin needs to do this, Justin needs to do that. Okay, well, y'all act like Justin is supposed to develop himself. Okay, this is where it goes back to coaching, right? And also, it falls on the shoulders, the square shoulders of Luke Getsy. You got to develop him. You got to do what you're supposed to do. Now, one of your counterparts have already been exposed. And was that my man Hackett, who was coaching Russell Wilson and didn't know what the hell he was doing, yet he had the title of offensive coordinator in Green Bay, same as Luke Getsy. And
well, that's a question that I wanted to ask y'all.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Because see, I find it, you know, people, everybody from national media, local media, people on Twitter, Bears fans, everybody. All I hear is Justin ain't got no excuse. They giving him everything.
I know. I see.
He's got no excuse. He got no excuse. And I'm sitting back and I'm thinking to myself, hold on. Things can go awry with Chicago's offense, and it could literally still not be Justin's fault, to the point that Luke Getsy doesn't know what he's doing when it comes to getting people in position to win.
Exactly.
So, you know, your offensive coordinator, a lot of people don't understand, but coaching is probably most important in the NFL. If all the major sports, it's most important in the NFL, right? And the NBA, one player could dominate and, you know, can just ramrod a team. You know what I'm saying? In baseball, a pitcher could have a no-hitter. You know what I mean? Whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, you throw a lineup out there and it is what it is. It's not running plays and – having everybody on the same accord and stuff like that. In football, you got three different teams. You got coaches of different positions, skill positions. You got three different coaches, you know, offense, defense, special teams. You got the head coach who's overseeing everything, and everybody got to be in unison. All of them got to be on the same team. So with Luke Getsy, there's some things that he needs to shore up as well. So for people to act like, well, Justin's on the hot seat, if it don't work this year, move on from him and get somebody else. Well, wait a second. What about Luke Getsy? What do y'all think about him?
Yeah.
Go ahead, Will.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's a, like y'all said, it's a lot of new – I think it's even bigger than Getsy, too. I think, too, like we saw the injuries on the offensive line, right? That was always my fear. And I think the Bears went out and got some decent depth, like Larry Borum's a good swing tackle. You know, we got Jatarian Carter. He proves himself to be a decent backup. But when everybody gets hurt, that's gonna affect the way the offense can be run, because you can't run certain things if your offensive line is hurt. Darnell Wright got hurt. He's back. I think Tevin Jenkins is still out, right? So he might be out for like a month. That's one of your best offensive linemen, right? That might be your best offensive lineman, and he's injury prone. So you can't run certain stuff with your offensive line. That's the one. And two, yeah, it's on Luke Getsy. And the big part is on Luke Getsy is that I'm seeing this on Twitter. I ain't saying the coaching staff is this dumb. If they fall into the trap of trying to prove, I've seen this happen with RG3 in Washington, where they basically said, you know what, we're going to try to make this dude a pure drop back pocket passer. Right, where you just gonna say we're gonna drop back 30 times a game, like Nagy was doing with Mitch and was doing with Fields early in his career.
Getsy was doing with Justin the first six weeks of the season.
Yeah, it's like, no, you use his legs, because the dude is 24. Even if it takes Justin Fields another 4 years to develop into a pure pocket passer, he'll just be 28. And this is the thing, like, you can tell Bear fans aren't used to like having a quarterback and developing them. Right, but what we're just saying, because they don't understand, is like, if you got a quarterback and he's good, you're gonna have him for 15 years, bro. He doesn't have to be everything right now at this moment, right here, right now. They've got this obsession with just being a pure drop back pocket pad. You see, and I ain't knocking people, but the bloggers and people like us, the influencers, they just keep saying the same thing. He has to improve that. Like, you want the man to be Kirk Cousins. He's not Kirk Cousins. The man is 6'3", 230 pounds, built like a linebacker and runs like a wide receiver. Right. And he happened to have a cannon in his arm. So format the offense, you know, do the RPO, still keep incorporate the running game, the quarterback running game, maybe not as much. And then he can improve his own short game pass and include the screen game. Now you got receivers like DJ Moore, as we've seen, can catch a slant and go to the house. So his passing numbers should go up because he has better weapons, he had better protection, and he's improved himself. But don't just try to make this man into be the 40-year-old Tom Brady. Bro, Tom Brady, we just talked about Tom Brady wasn't picking apart defenses at 24 years old, bro. These people are
crack cocaine. How many yards did Tom Brady have in that first Super Bowl? Like, what was it? It was barely over 100, right?
Tom Brady wasn't carving up NFL defenses, dude, and when he first started off. He was throwing barely for 3,000 yards.
Exactly.
People think Tom Brady was throwing for 5,000 yards a year. Every year. I'm going to look it up. His first year, not to cut you off, he played 14, 15 games. He threw for 2,800 yards.
That's what, you know.
Yeah, 18 touchdowns, 12 picks.
Right, same as Justin.
Yeah. That was his second year in the NFL. Tom Brady, the GOAT.
Yeah.
Man, get the hell out of
here. It takes time. It takes time to get things up, you know, get things going. Even Aaron Rodgers, you know, one of the things, you know, and I hate Aaron Rodgers, of course, right? I hate Aaron Rodgers. But he gave Justin Fields some wise wisdom, you know what I mean? You might say he gave to him a little bit. And it was, you know, don't work on everything at one time. You're not going to be able to do everything in one off season. You're not going to work on your short throws in this off season. Work on, you know, manipulating the pocket this off season. He said over the course of your career, that's how you become proficient at everything. It's the same thing with Michael Jordan. We know Michael Jordan. He wasn't the greatest shooter when he came in the league, but he could dominate athletically and he could do what he needed to do. But then he worked on his passing. Then he worked on his shot. Then he worked on his fadeaway. And it became, you know, and he perfected certain parts of his game. and you know, and got better over the course of time. And this that's what you want from any pro player. You're not mm-hmm. going to be able to do everything at one time. So for these people that say, you know, Justin, he need to come out here and he run for 1,000 yards and throw for 4,000. Come on, man.
That's what the Come greatest. On. That would be one of the greatest. That would be the greatest statistical season in NFL history
ever.
Ever. Only Lamar Jackson has thrown for 3,000 yards and running for 1,000 yards. Only Lamar Jackson, and that, right. he won MVP. These people don't know ball, bro.
At all,
they don't know.
But you know it. But see, the thing is, and you know when everybody wanted to say that Russell Wilson is falling off. And everything else last season, and I kept trying to tell people, I said, you know, it's his coach. It's not him. It's his coach. And your coach can make you look like the worst player in the league if he don't know what he's doing. Mm-hmm. Your coach can make you look like the best player in the league if he knows what he's doing. But it was evident that Nathaniel Hackett did not know what he was doing. And when Sean Payton, I was screaming this all last year. I'm like, you don't go from being an MVP Super Bowl winning quarterback to a pure bum overnight. It don't happen like that. And it took for Sean Payton to come out and blast Nathaniel Hackett publicly and say he didn't know what the hell he was doing. Flat out, he didn't know what he was doing at all. And as he said, it was egregious for him to even be considered for a head coaching position. He dogged Nathaniel Hackett so bad that Aaron Rodgers, who don't even play in Green Bay no more, had to make comments and defend Nathaniel Hackett, who is now his offensive coordinator in New York. Seriously. Yeah. So, you know, and this was the guy that they labeled the offensive coordinator in Green Bay, along with Luke Getsy. And this is the point that I was making when I kept telling people, look, for the first 6 weeks of last year, it looked like Luke Getsy didn't know what the hell he was doing at all. It's like it took for the bye week for him to realize that Justin Fields had legs. Oh, shit. It's a new unlocked potential that I could use. And then what Will pointed at earlier here in this pod, where he stated that what he fears is the fact that with the offensive line being hurt and guys going down, what he fears is that they will try to run the same things with the same guys that's not there. And that's what I fear the most, because Luke Getsy has shown that he cannot adjust in game. Because when they take away Justin Fields' legs, it's like Luke Getsy goes stupid. And he keeps calling the same shit over and over and over again, hoping for a different result.
I'm not gonna condemn him for last year, because you know, when you're working with guys that can't get open, and you're working with you're working with Dante Pettis, and you're working with Aquamanian St. Brown,
IMS,
those are guys that are 5-6 on the roster right now. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
but those were your
starters
last year.
But what I'm saying is, like, in that game against Detroit, right, we kept running the same rollout play, right? And we was getting away with it. This was the first game in Chicago where Justin Fields had that, you know, he had a hell of a game. You know, and this was in Chicago, and we kept running that same quarterback sprint rollout, you know what I'm saying, and looking for a different option. And at the time, what's the end for Detroit, Michigan, that came from Michigan?
Hutchinson.
Hutchinson was biting down on it at first. He was biting down on it for all three quarters. He was biting down on it. And then in the fourth quarter, he starts staying home, and that was giving problems. And I said, okay, guess he caught something else. You got to call something else off of that. You have to have another plan for if that defensive end stays home. And he kept calling the same shit, and it started turning into turnovers, and then it started turning into fourth down, and then it started turning into turnover on downs. And I'm like, Getsy, you can't keep calling the same shit expecting a different result. And that's what was pissing me off. He did it in that Detroit game. He did it in the Atlanta game. It's like where he has brain farts.
What else could you do with the roster that they had last year, though? You couldn't do nothing else.
But you ain't going to call the same play, knowing that he's sitting on it.
I get what you're saying. You're handicapped to a certain degree.
Of course. Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, because you don't have a DJ Moore. You don't have a DJ Moore that can can just see. Now that's the thing. He can actually say, okay, they stop in the run. Let me scheme DJ Moore open. Let me get DJ Moore one-on-one. Let me put Let me put Komet and Tonyan. Let me go to 12 personnel, put Komet and Tonyan in and create a mismatch with my big tight ends and put Mooney or Claypool on the side. We actually got options now. Like, so I agree with you, Dan. We just didn't have much to work with.
Think about it like this.
If but you're Bears, also right too, Nez. You can't run the same shit.
if the Bears come out, this is a line, you know what I mean, a formation that you never saw. You could put trips on one side and you put one wide receiver on the other side. Mm-hmm. You got your running back in the backfield, and you can force the defense's hands, right? Mm-hmm. You force the defense. What are they going to do? If you got DJ Moore, it's either one-on-one or you roll somebody over there with him. And if you roll somebody over there with him, okay, on the other side of the field, I got three wide receivers.
Yeah, I got Claypool, Mooney, and Taylor Scott.
You see what I'm saying?
With no safety,
though. So, what you going to do? Or you can have Claypool, Komet, and Mooney. You know what I'm saying? You can split Komet out wide if you want to. So you're forcing them. They can't double everybody on the field. Facts. So you're going to either let DJ Moore have one-on-one, or you're going to roll that coverage over there to him, and then somebody's going to be able to get open of those three guys over there. So these are formations that the Bears had no – they couldn't even put that formation on the field last year. Yeah. Nobody would respect that. We ain't got to double nobody. You know what I'm saying? Not with what you're running out there. So that's why I say Luke Getsy, to see how he comes forward and what's he going to throw in here? What wrinkles is he going to throw into the playbook that's gonna start lighting up some defenses and making people, putting the fear of God in some people? You know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. like they should be afraid of the speed, the talent that the Bears have on offense.
Facts.
No doubt. No doubt. You should, because the rushing attack is going to be lethal, right? We already know what Khalil Herbert can do. We know what Dante Foreman can do. And Roshan, they can pound the ball down your throat. And that's the good thing I like about it. They can win multiple ways. We can just run the ball. We can run the ball with our running backs. We can run the ball with our quarterback. We can beat you with our tight ends. We got a good tight end group. We can beat you airing it out with wide receivers. And so, yeah, now, the hot seat is on Luke Getsy out of everybody. So I agree with Nez. It is on him, because now you have the horses. Like, even with Tevin Jenkins being out, you got enough offensive line, because we're talking about a guard here, right? We're talking about a guard, not tackles. You can throw a guard in because the guard gets help from the center. So whoever, exactly. You know what I mean? So whoever needs help, and I think they're going to put Whitehair guard because he hurt his hand, right? So so even then, Whitehair is solid. I mean, he ain't a world beater, but we know we're going to get with Whitehair. And they're probably going to put Lucas Patrick, if he can stay healthy.
Right.
Stop stubbing his toe.
Right.
If he can stay a damn Feeney, whatever. We might just put Dan Feeney
in the middle of the night and stuff.
We might as well just put Dan Feeney in there with his mullet, bro. Like, I don't trust Lucas Patrick anymore.
Do something.
Until but yeah, the heat, people talking about the heat is on Justin Fields. The heat is on Luke Getsy, because you got the horses. We know what Justin can do.
Mm-hmm.
Put your players in position to win, because you got them. And I think if you put players in position, if you put these guys in position to win, you consistently put Justin Fields in a position where he can make plays and do. Now, if you go back, like, I'm gonna say this too: the preseason game. What was it? They played the six snap versus the Bills.
Yeah.
With the they were running. What were they running? They were running like basic simple concepts, dude. Like base Lion concepts, Dragon,
vanilla offense.
Yeah, they were like slant, and what is it called? Lion Dragon, where you do the slant and then the dude goes in the flat. They were running that. They weren't running anything special, bro. Like, and they were playing the Bills' number one defense, and they were. And then people were like, oh my God, Justin didn't look great in the first five snaps of a meaningless preseason game, bro. I don't care about preseason, bro.
At all.
It's glorified practice.
At all.
Get used to getting hit. That's what it is to me. Get hit. Okay, you got hit. Now we can play a real game.
Yeah.
No.
At all. But see, the killing part about it is, you know, when people want to scream that preseason shit, I say, need I remind you that the Lions went 5-0 in preseason and went 0-16. Same year.
The Bears went 3-0 last year in preseason.
Yep.
See what I'm saying? The Detroit Lions went 5-0 in preseason, and then when the regular season started, went 0-16. Flat out. So no one gives a shit. Didn't we go 0-3 one year
and went to
preseason.
The Super Bowl or something?
Yeah.
Then we go 0-3 and like win the division or something. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, we went to the Super Bowl that year.
Yeah. Yeah.
We went to the Super Bowl that year.
And
so
in preseason, I try to tell people this too. In preseason, you're doing things to you know, just to get acclimated to the offense, just to throw stuff out there. Like Justin said in that last game, man, I got to throw it deep a couple of times. That was good because we didn't get to do that the first time around. Mm-hmm. So it's just a matter of, okay, let's focus on this. Let's focus on that. Let's get this guy some burn. You know what I mean? So on and so forth. People was mad when they pulled Justin out of that last game, right? And they put Bajan in. Why did they do that? I knew why they did it. It's simple to understand it. Like, you wanted to put Bajan in that situation to see how he would respond to that situation because he was a guy on the bubble. He's fighting to get that spot, and lo and behold, he proved himself in that game.
He threw a dime, and my man dropped it in the end zone. He threw a nice little dime.
And what happened? He ended up taking P.J. Walker's spot, basically, right? Mm-hmm. So P.J.'s now cut, and Bajan we keeping, Peterman we keep, you know what I mean, because of that. So they mm-hmm. wanted to get a look at him. That's what the preseason is about. Mm-hmm. Let's put people in these positions, see what they can do with it, see how they respond to it, if they execute the play. I don't care if it's, you know, if we get 100 yards, 300 yards, it don't matter. Did you execute the plays? That's what they go back and they look at on film. It's not, did we score a touchdown here? Mm-hmm. Did we complete the pass? No, did you execute the plays in preseason? Now, in the regular season, yeah. What are you doing? Are you making progress down the field? But right now, it's just, did you execute it the way the coaches wanted you to do it? And if you mm-hmm. are, then those are the guys that make it onto the roster.
And that is a
yeah. That's a fact. And in the preseason, we already know the preseason more or less like the rookies and the second, third string guys. They're fighting for jobs. You know what I mean? You got guys, the backup defensive end is battling another backup defensive end. Right. You know, that's what it is. That's what it's about. And then some guys shine and some guys don't. You know, like, I think people should play. Like, I get it. I get preseason. You got to go out there. You got to get the sweat because you're practicing. You're not really hit. In preseason, they hit. You got to get used to getting hit. I kind of get that part. But, like, people, like, looking too much. Bro, we've seen this before. I seen Mitch Trubisky look like a god in preseason. Remember the first time he was bootlegging, throwing the ball? We were like,
He completed his first 15 passes or 12 passes or something like that.
Yeah, it was crazy. Now he's a backup, you know? So, like, yeah. Like I really don't care, man. I'm ready for Green Bay, man. Like, like Ned said, bro, I want us to stomp them, bro. Like, I'm so sick of them.
I hate them. I hate their everlasting existence. I hate their colors. I hate that whack-ass stadium they play in. I hate everything about them, man. I just can't stand them. I hate that. I just like, life is better when Green Bay is sorry. It is.
Yeah.
I'm just being real about that, you know.
People don't realize it, man. Green Bay was terrible for a long time, yeah. Man.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah.
They were, look at the 80s and the early 90s. They was horrible.
Yes.
Horrible squad.
They about to head back there too.
Oh yeah. And then they're gonna see exactly what it's like because that fan base has been, you know, and it's a lot of fake ass Packer fans too. Mm-hmm. Like people just roll out of bed and I'm a Packer fan because why? I mean, why? Do you know anything about them? No, I just Brett Favre.
Anthony Davis.
From Chicago, of all places. But it's all good.
Allegedly. I don't believe that. I ain't never seen. I don't know his people like that. I'm just saying.
Hey.
That
is what it is.
Supposedly he's from Inglewood. I don't know.
Right.
I don't know.
My thing, you know, heading into this week, though, you know, again, like I said, we'll have everybody available except for Tevin Jenkins. You know, Brisker will be back. You know, yeah. All those cats will be back for Sunday. And the one that who I'm most excited about to see, it's a collective. It's the wide receiver group. Of course, I'm biased. But I'm most excited to see how they're going to play in this game. With all three of them out there, you know, in a starting role. So now you got DJ Moore and on top of that, Chase Claypool to go along with Darnell Mooney. That trio, let's see how that causes problems for the opposing defensive backs. Because the way that it's shaping up and the way that it's looking, it's going to be a mismatch across the board. And it's going to be up to our quarterback to process this quickly, which I'm not worried about. But it's going to be up to him to process this quickly and know where his advantage is, where his advantages are upon lining up before he even take that snap, where he can look and say, okay, I got Mooney over here in the slot. That's going to be my advantage. Clear as day. I can see it already. He's going to win that. Or, oh, I can see that DJ Moore is one-on-one on the outside. I'm taking that 100% of the time. Or, hey, I know I got Chase Claypool down here at the bottom. They got him one-on-one in man coverage. Or, you know, they playing a zone. The soft spot is in the quarter part of the left quarter of the field. So I know if he sits down there, that's about a 20 yard gain. Easy jump ball for him. Mm-hmm. We gonna take that all day.
Mm-hmm.
That is what I'm excited to see. Kind of like, for those who didn't who watched the game Saturday, where Colorado played against TCU, where Shedeur Sanders knew where his advantages was. That was a hell of a performance, number one. But number two, mm-hmm. Shedeur knew where his advantages was before he even received the snap. He knew where he was going. He knew where the holes was in the defense because that's how quick he was processing it from how the defenses was lining up. Justin Fields was doing the same thing at Ohio State. When Justin Fields was at Ohio State, he was surgical. Because
who he had?
Oh, my God.
But last year, who did he have?
Yeah, he had no advantages. He had no advantages.
That's the thing.
He had no advantages.
That's my point. Like we sit back and it's like people that say, you know, because you hear this in the offseason, and you hear this from everybody. He needs to throw people open. He needs to make anticipatory throws and stuff like that.
But when he doing it, get picked off. Oh, he's terrible.
Exactly. Look at what Jay Cutler said about Mike Marks. Mike Marks is in his ear. Just throw the ball over there. Just throw it there. And he's like, I know that wide receiver is not going to be where
exactly.
I need him to be.
And he's not going
to
win.
Brandon Marshall will be where he mm-hmm. needs to be. I trust Alshon. Brandon Marshall. Yep. I trust Alshon. I trust Martellus Bennett. But these other guys that you got running out here, I don't trust them to be where they're going to be. And that's Justin's problem last year. Now mm-hmm. he's going to have guys like Mooney, who he's got a rapport with, like DJ Moore, who knows how to play football, knows how to get open, right? And you trust those guys a little bit more. Throwing a 50-50 ball to Chase Claypool is way different than throwing a 50-50 ball to, you know, Dante Pettis. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's way different. So, you know, those sideline throws, some of those things, you'll be able to see that happening. And that's what I'm looking forward to. When it comes to Justin Fields, I'm looking forward to him having confidence in who he's throwing the ball to. That's tremendous when it comes to your ability to do what you want to do on the football field. When you have confidence that, hey, this guy's going to be there, that guy's going to be there, my defender is going to be over here, you know what I mean? Whatever. Whoever, you know, because you're playing for the other guys that you're playing with. Mm-hmm. You know, you got gaps, you got responsibilities, so on and so forth. So when you have guys that you can really trust on the football field, it allows you to play a little bit more free.
Man, I like the whole weapons thing. Like the people that I didn't like, dude. I'm really like, I don't know what happened, but I ended up getting a bunch of followers. You get all these weirdos in your mentions, dude. They're weirdos, bro. Like faceless accounts. You're like, I don't follow you. You don't follow me, and you found me. But I guess I'm just popping up in people's algorithm now, bro. So I'm like, you cannot. A quarterback can only do so much without weapons. I don't know what world these people live in. What clown world they exist in. Where this is happening. Joe, I remember Joe Burrow got on. He said it. He was like, it doesn't matter how good you are as a quarterback if you don't have help around you. You mm-hmm. need people to throw to. Like we were talking about last year, talking about the advantages. We had no advantages, bro. It's like we were playing Madden. The wide receivers are all ranked like 65, right? Like who do you throw to? And they playing against the top cornerback. Like now, DJ Moore, you're going to have to shadow. Jair Alexander is going to have to follow DJ Moore all over the field. Right? Mm-hmm. That's going to dictate coverage on the rest of the players. So now you got Eric Stokes trying to guard Darnell Mooney. He can't guard him.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So he's just going to be running him up. And then so Jair, he got to focus on DJ Moore. DJ Moore's still going to win some battles. Jair ain't going to win everything. I mean, hell, N'Keal Harry and Equanimee and St. Brown burned him. What do you think DJ Moore's going to do? You know, mm-hmm. so And now, you still got to worry about command. You already know you got to worry about Tunyon. Oh, now we got the run game. Oh, you want to play man coverage? Guess what? Your DB's backs are turned. You got the most electric quarterback in the NFL with the ball in his hand. He's going to break off a run from 60 yards. So you still got to count for him. Oh, you're going to spy him? So that means you don't have a linebacker that can worry about Cole Kmet. So
now I'm sending Cole Kmet over the middle. Exactly.
So this is like the chess match. And people that don't understand ball, like, bro, I'll be like, they'd be like, well, we'll just put man-to-man. I'm like, you put man-to-man across the board on the Bears wide receivers, and you got a linebacker spying Justin, which isn't going to work because he's faster than your linebacker. So now you got to worry about Cole Kmet. And then you're playing man coverage. He can take off a run for 50 yards at any given time if he wants to. And then now you're going to focus on Justin Fields. That means you're putting people in the box to try to stop Justin Fields in the running game. And now you got DJ Moore one-on-one with outside coverage. So these people don't know ball, bro. And I see this crowd like, I'm going to go back to what I was saying with Joe Burrow. Look at his wide receivers. Yeah. Lamar, it's Chase. He got T. Higgins. He got Tyler Boyd. But Justin Fields should be able to, throw for 5,000 yards to N'Keal Harry, Byron Pringle, IMS, Equanime and St. Brown, and Dante Pettis. it's ridiculous.
Yep. They got, what I mean? Now when you have those weapons, the same thing with Herbert and Charger land, in LA.
Yeah.
You got Mike Williams, you got Keenan Allen, you got studs, guys that go out there. Keenan Allen's a walking 100 catch, 1,200 yards, and 6 to 8 touchdowns every single year.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? It just happens. It's what he does. And we didn't have anybody like that, right? We had guys, and like I said before, a long time ago, we had guys that had some potential, maybe had potential as young players, but were they going to step up? And that's the difference between some of these players that really step up and become good, and guys who are just, they were good in high school, college. They don't really know what it takes. And if they do know what it takes to get better, they're not willing to do it. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So, you can have potential, but do you have what it takes to go out and get better? Like Darnell Mooney, I think he does. Yeah. He has that desire. He has that drive. You know what I mean? He wants to be good. So those are guys that you gravitate towards as a player, as fans. And guys need to. I just don't get it, man. I don't get our fan base. It's like, are you rooting for them to succeed? Or are you rooting for them to fail? It's a thin line when it comes to Bears fans, in my opinion.
I think we got so many fans that just want to be right. You know what I mean? They didn't like Poles and his approach to roster building, even though it's starting to look like he was right. It's like the Bears are trending in the right direction. Look at the draft class. We didn't even get a really chance to talk about that. Look at all the players like Darnell Wright. Everybody loves him, right? He's supposed to be the next best tackle in the NFL, right?
Mm-hmm.
Javon Dexter looks good. He looks like he's going to be a solid nose tackle. Tyree Stevenson looks like he's already number two corner. He's an up-and-coming player. Even Zach Pickens might even look like he's a rotational guy. Tyler Scott seems like he's going to be like a rotational guy, like a guy that's going to stick around. Roshon Johnson, right? You just start looking across the board. Terrell Smith looks like he's going to be around for a while to be like a decent kind of rotational cornerback. And you start saying, man, these dudes are like – and then you go back to last season. They didn't have a first-round pick. Kyler Gordon, he's your starting nickel. You got Jaquan Brisker. Braxton Jones.
Yeah.
You start – Jatiah Carter's at least a rotational guy. You know what I mean? Like an interior
lineman. He's hitting on guys.
He's hitting on guys. So, and then next year they got 2 first-round draft picks. And so you're like, okay, these dudes are building something.
Yeah.
And they got to eat a lot of crow. And they, because they're like, go ahead.
That's another thing. Like when it comes to the – and shout out to – what's his name? Ryan – what's my man's name over there? Ryan – forgot the last name. I forgot the last name.
Dangle.
But Ryan, he put out – what was his name?
Ryan Dangle.
Yeah, Dingle. He put out that post, and it was like, are the Bears – has Ryan Pose done enough – to have a competent offensive line out there, right? And this is after a couple of people got injured or whatever. And I'm sitting there, and I'm just looking at it, and I was looking at the votes that are coming in. And at one point, it was like no, he ain't done. He haven't done enough. And I'm thinking to myself, what do you mean he hasn't done enough? He's drafted. He signed guys. He brought in Nate Davis. He got Darnell Wright. He did everything that we wanted him to do when it comes to bringing in new talent and bringing in guys that could play. And you mean to tell me you don't think that the offensive line, if it's healthy, can be competent?
Yeah, no, they can be good.
They can't be competent? Come on, like what are people looking at? And it's like, oh no, well they got injured. That ain't his fault.
They got injured. It's football, bro.
My God, man.
Let's go down the line. I want to do this. Like, let's go Braxton Jones. Braxton Jones is like one of the up and most people in the NFL, and he's proved it with his play. Like, I got to give him his props even this year. Dude, some people gonna get bull rushed, bro. Like, get over it. You're not gonna win every rep. They can pull out one rep where he got beat. Right. He's a good solid left tackle, bro.
Like, he'll lose two reps in the course of the game, and people are up in arms about it.
Yeah, he's a good left tackle.
59 others.
He's a good left tackle. He hit. Tevin Jenkins is one of the best guards in the NFL. Cody Whitehair is probably the weakest link on the offensive line, and at least he's like serviceable, right? Mm-hmm. Let's be honest. Mm-hmm. He's a veteran, been to the Pro Bowl. Right guard, Nate Davis, solid right guard. I know he had his little issues and not practicing, but he's here. He's solid.
Right.
And solid. Then you got Darnell Wright, probably going to be one of the best right tackles in NFL for the next decade.
Right.
Bro, that's a pretty good offensive line, bro.
And I'm like, when he put that out, I'm like, yeah, it's competent. That's a he's done everything to make sure that this line that he puts out there can be a competent offensive line. So I put on there, I'm like, anybody that's saying no, he didn't, they hedging their bet, man, because they want to be right. And that's all there is to it. It's not a matter of what you really believe is well, you know, well, because injuries. No, that's not his fault. Injuries happen in the NFL. It always happens. Every single year, teams will have guys that go down, not for one, two games, sometimes for the whole season, sometimes for 6 months, whatever it might be. You got guys that go down, and that's just what happens in the NFL, in any sport, to be honest with you.
Especially football,
bro.
And that's real.
Yeah, people, they it's unrealistic, bro. They're not realistic people.
No.
I don't know what they want.
No, and we can go deeper with the offensive line. Larry Bone, solid swing tackle.
Solid.
He rated high. Like, I don't use PFL, but he rated the high. Like, did you hear anything bad about Larry? No, he went left tackle, right tackle, handled it. Ja'Tai Carter. Everybody was like, Ja'Tai Carter's a good guy. Lucas Patrick can play anywhere on the interior of the offensive line. Same thing with Dan Feeney.
Doug Kramer.
He's hurt, but he's a good back. He looked good too, bro. We just named 10 offensive linemen. So we got starters and we got backups. And you think he didn't invest? I have never seen a GM invest this much in offensive line, bro. He found bookend tackles in back to back drafts,
and not scrubs though. Scrubs either.
Ballers.
Just guys you could throw in there. No, these are plug in guys that are going out there and playing that are nasty.
Back-to-back drafts, bookend tackles, and you're going to say he ain't done enough. Get the hell out of here, bro. Like, what is wrong with you people, bro?
You already know what they own. You already know what they own.
But this man found bookend tackles.
Yeah. Not only did he find bookend tackles, he revamped that whole linebacker core.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We didn't even talk about that.
He revamped the whole linebacking core. He developed and developed and solidified our defensive secondary. Which was a weakness for us. Now it is a huge strength, you know, along with that linebacking core.
That secondary can be really good. I think Kyler Gordon is making strides.
Oh, yeah.
Brisker, we know what he can do. And then Tyreek Stevenson is looking every bit of a second, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And then you got Jalen Johnson on the other side, and they're saying that he's a cornerstone type of player for the Bears. I think they're gonna be better. Now, do you want more takeaways? Of course, you do, right? But at the same time, when you cannot condemn, and that's what I tell people. Well, Jalen Jones don't get no interceptions, or Jalen Johnson didn't get no picks, and you know this guy, they're not getting interceptions. Brisker, blah blah blah, so on and so forth. Okay, but in order for them to get interceptions, they gotta provide a decent pass rush, to hurry, to speed the game up for the opposing quarterback, force him to make some errant throws, force him into some bad situations, right, where he puts the ball in harm's way. If you're back there and you're able to pat the ball and bounce around, you're not going to make many mistakes. I don't care who you are. You know what I'm saying? Roy, you suit up and go out there and stand back there for 10 seconds, you will find somebody wide open sooner or later.
Yeah, you only can cover for so long.
Yeah.
You only can cover for so long. That's why they get out. And I mean, I think they still the most work this team probably is going to need and is going to have to be in the offseason is the defensive line. Like, we signed Yannick Ngakoue. We got to mention that. A lot of people wanted Yannick, and we got him. So we got a legit pass rusher. DeMarcus Walker's back. He was pretty solid. And, you know, we drafted the two young boys, Dexter and Pickens, that, you know, sit there and learn behind Billings and boy Justin Jones. Right. So our defensive line is much better than last year. I won't say it's like A1. It's not like the 2018 Bears where he had Akeem Hicks and Khalil Mack. We're not at that level, but I think we at least got a professional defensive line, whereas last year we didn't, man. We had Justin Jones is the only one. I said this last offseason. I said Justin Jones is the only person you keep, and everybody else on the offensive line, that defensive line got to go. And that's exactly what they did.
Everybody else got to go.
It's like they were lizards. I said, man, the only person on that line is worth a damn is Justin Jones. And they went and got Billings, went and signed Walker and Ngakoue and drafted those two young boys.
They kept Justin Jones and they kept DeMarcus Robinson.
Yeah. That was it. That was the only two that was worth it. Because I was like, Robinson has potential.
Yeah.
Gibson can go. Like, I know people mad Gibson gone, but listen, man, I like Gibb, but he ain't do shit last year.
No, he ain't doing nothing last year. And it's the games that count, man. Like you know, a lot of people was like, well, he had sacks in the preseason and he had quarterback rush. And that's cool, but he was going against second and third stringers. Mm-hmm. Let's not get it twisted. He did make some plays. I'm not going to take that away from him. But when the money was on the line, he didn't do anything for us last year. And he didn't have no injury. It was nothing wrong with him. So, to me, you know, sorry, bro, but you got to go.
It is what it is. You can't try to turn it on against motherfuckers that's doing drywall and, you know, laying carpet and shit like that at this time of the year. Sorry.
Working for two men in a truck moving company.
You know, doing brick masonry work and shit. You know, I'm just keeping it 100. You can't turn it on against cats like that who I'm going to be calling to fix my mailbox and shit. You know what I'm saying? This week. You know, you can't turn it on against cats like that. And then, you know.
They're going to be in the back of trash trucks.
Exactly. You know what I'm saying? And then, you know, when the season starts, you know, you turn ass. And now you're nowhere to be found. You know, and our general manager ain't stupid. He knew what was up because he saw it last year. That was his audition, and that's how dumb he is.
That's a roster spot, bro.
Exactly.
It's a 53 man roster. We don't have spots to give away for that.
Exactly. You know? So, you know, and his audition was last year, and you know that's why he buried him so far down on the depth chart.
I don't think he was really bought into the whole 4-3. He's not he ain't no 3-4 either. You drop him back in coverage, it's not like he's good at that. You know what I mean? So I don't know why he wants to play in a 3-4, but go ahead, have at it, bro.
Well, enjoy it. I mean, maybe, who knows? You know, I don't see him doing anything in Tennessee either, as he even moved on. So it is what it is. But Ryan Poles has done a lot to this roster. This roster turnover is insane. Only for it to be his second year. And, you know, the talent and everything else that is completely we're more talented, leaps and bounds more talented this season than what we were last season. And, you know, we still have a ways to go, but we're headed in the right direction. Something that I wanted to touch on that got on my fucking nerves, you know, and I try not to give them any airplay or anything like that, you know, when we do our thing on our podcast. But, you know, I heard some dumb shit on ESPN 1000, man. Courtney Cronin, those in Chicagoland are very familiar with her. She was on Cap and Jay Hood, and Jay Hood wasn't there. You know, usually Jay Hood's the voice of reason. But Courtney Cronin, you know, she said two things that, like, chapped my ass, that annoyed the hell out of me. And it's like, are you just hired? Like, are you just talking to just talk, or did they, you know, you really think that, or you really feel that, right? But one of the things that she said was that, which was egregious to me, she said that Anthony Richardson is further along in his rookie development than Justin Fields was as a rookie. I wanted to call in. Listen, I wanted to call in so bad on the show and just go off. However, you know what they would have did? They would have cut my time short.
Oh, yeah.
You know, did whatever they had to do to protect her. But somebody who's only completed 20% of their passes for 41 yards and an interception, is this, you saying that is this far along, is beyond belief right now. Aside from that, also taking into account that Justin Fields had, he actually shined in preseason as a rookie, right? And I think he threw for what, two touchdowns as a rookie in the preseason, his rookie year, two or three. Rushed for about three more too as well. So I don't know what crack she's smoking or where the hell she got that from. And then also she stated that, yeah, this Bears team, they look like, after that one Buffalo preseason game practice, she said that they look like they're probably going to be in the same position to win three or four games again. And I said, you know, that's kind of a wild, asinine statement to make when you haven't seen this roster play in live competition yet. We're not talking about preseason. We're talking about actual games. So how can you base that when this is a totally different roster from last season? Totally different roster from skill position on down. How can you make that assessment? And I felt that was very reckless on her behalf. And I don't even think she really, and that's when I start coming to the realization that Courtney Cronin is just like the rest of, is like the majority of our fan base. They don't fucking watch the Bears, man. They don't watch the Bears. They don't know too much about the Bears. So they go off the national media's assessment of the Bears.
Yeah.
And they don't follow truly with their own eyes. And then she got mad when my man Scar told her, was like, yeah, she said that they wasn't even going to win 10 games. And she said her, when they, and then she had the nerve to quote tweet Scar. She totally ignored me. But she, because she knew I was going to get in that ass. So she tried to pick Scar and say that, yeah, sorry that my, what did she say? She said, hold on, I got to find it because it was.
I remember she said her professional, her, you know,
yes,
I mean?
Like her professional,
to, like, watch the Bears. Yeah.
Her professional viewpoints or her professional opinion. As if this is law, as if I know what I'm talking about. Like she's like she's suited up and she's played the game.
Yeah.
How wild was that?
The NFL is so crazy, which when people say that, right, it's so wild to me because the NFL is crazy. Like, it's, there's only a few teams that you can, like, tell me. Like, I'll talk crap about Green Bay, but could it possibly happen they can win 10 games? Yeah, I mean, it's possible. They got talent on the defense. They got a good running game. The only team, like, I can say, like, for sure ain't winning 10 games is the Arizona Cardinals, bro. Like, they are obviously tanking, bro. Like, they got Josh Dobbs as the QB1 they just traded for him, bro. How you going to trade for a QB a week, like 3 weeks into the preseason and make him your starter, and then you're like, yeah, we're going to go out and play NFL football. You're going to lose a lot of games, bro. Like, the Bears have talent. We can make an argument that they can win 10 games or not, but they should not win three games unless there's catastrophic injuries. Now, people want to talk about Tyson Bagent. If Tyson Bagent stars double-digit games for the Chicago Bears, yes, they will win three games because he will go out there and get his shit kicked in. I'm being honest because, you know, if Justin Fields is healthy 15, 16, 17 games, DJ Moore is healthy 15, 17 games, the defense doesn't have a rash of injuries. How many games did we lose by one score like last year? Seven, eight?
Seven.
Okay. That means this team is playing hard. I'm not saying if you split it. This team is actually playing hard. They're hustling. They're buying into his principle. The problem is they just didn't have the dogs. They did not have the horses. They didn't have the talent. You can try and try and try. Some teams just, like we said, most games come down to two or three plays. And you got to have players that can make those two or three plays that puts you in a position to win. The difference is you throw the ball to Dante Pettis on a slant, he gets tackled and he's down. DJ Moore catches that slant, he breaks the tackle, gets up yard, 15 yards. Now you can kick your field goal to win the game. Those are the small differences in the NFL game, right? Yannick Ngakoue, you know, gets a strip sack, you know, whereas Travis Gibson is out there getting pushed to the sideline on a crucial third down. That's the difference in the NFL. That's why you need talent, because talent wins games.
Yo, she said her educated view. That's what set me off. Educated view. What the fuck is you saying that's making you so educated over anybody else? Like, you strapped them up and got your ass on the field, Courtney. Your educated view. I'm sorry. You played where? Your educated view. Just why? Because you sit in on practice? That makes you educated? That just blew my mind. Like, wow. Educated view, huh? The same person who said that Anthony Richardson's progression right now is way further ahead than Justin Fields as a rookie. Yeah, okay. All right. Educated view, though, huh? wow. All right. So, yeah, man, like I said, I'm excited to see what's going to happen and pop off. Usually we're jumping into week one now, so we usually give our predictions, our score predictions. I'm predicting a Bears victory right off rip. I am going to go with a score of 34 to 13 Chicago Bears.
Green Bay Packers. Down, huh?
34 to 13.
Beat down. Okay. You know, okay.
I'm gonna give a score. I'm gonna say 24. Bears win, of course, 24-17. I don't think that I told you, I don't have no fear of Jordan Love
at all.
I think I think that running game might present a problem, and that's where they're gonna get their 14 points. You know, but Jordan Love is gonna piss down his leg in Chicago on the road versus Justin Fields, who they train together. He knows how confident Justin Fields is, and the Bears are going to edge him out. It ain't going to be really close. One of those touchdowns might be in garbage time, but it's going to be like a smooth kind of like game where we're just going to win. It's just going to be a win, and we're going to win, and we're going to walk away going to feel confident.
Gotcha. I'm going to go with the Bears in this one too. I'm going to go 27-17. 27-17. I think the Bears will be able to. They'll get some production. You know, they'll get a rushing touchdown, maybe a couple passing touchdowns, and then be able to get a couple field goals and get 27 points on the board. It'll be a nice start to the season. A nice start to the whole you know, new situation against Green Bay, which I'll be loving. And you know, at the end of the day, I think that's what'll happen. I think they'll make some strides. You'll have some miscues. It's the first game of the season, but overall, we should be able to win this game. We should be able to take care of business against Green Bay.
And that's a fact, Jack. So
yeah,
you know, after them, after the Packers, you know, we got another winnable game. So you know, we'll touch on that, but. I just want to see how everything holds up. I want to see how Justin processes things. I want to see how Luke Getsy calls plays. I want to see how the defense responds. I want to see how that linebacking core of Sanborn and company, you know, I want to see it bear fruit. I want to see it bear fruit this whole game. I want Jordan Love on his ass every single play. Every single play. You know, to be totally honest, I want them backs, both backs. I want them blasted every time they touch the ball, flat out. You know what I'm saying? They have nobody to be worried about on the receiving end. They should be blanketed. This should be a straight up ass whooping, in my opinion. This should be an ass whooping.
Eddie Jackson to play all kind of games with Jordan Love, dude. You got a veteran, ball hawking safety back there, and Brisker.
Exactly. This should be an ass whooping, all the way an ass whooping. So. That's what I'm expecting. That's what I'm calling. 34-13 Bears. Let's ride.
I think the Bears are going to win, but like I'm dead serious. Like I'm looking at it from a football perspective. It could get ugly, bro. Like,
yeah,
we can just talk ball. I can't do this with Packer fans. I'm like, I try to like remove the bias. We got to get out of here soon. But look at their wide receiver core, bro.
Yeah.
Christian Watson is a second year. He's not established. He's a second year wide receiver. Romeo Doubs is a second year wide receiver. Musgraves, the tight end, he's a rookie. Most rookie tight ends don't. And he's going against veteran linebackers, veteran safeties. You know, like, what the hell is he going to do? You know, like, I mean, Christian Watson had Aaron Rodgers throwing to him last year. He has Jordan Love. So, like, when you got a young quarterback, you got young wide receivers that aren't established, it's not a good combination. And that's just football, right? I'm just talking football here. You can take this and put it, if it was the Chicago Bears and Justin Fields was making his first ever start and he was throwing to a second-year Darnell Mooney like he was his rookie year, you saw what was happening. They made a couple plays here and there. But we don't even know how good Christian Watson is. Great. He caught a slant and took it in touch. He scored 7 touchdowns. Anthony Miller did the same thing his rookie year. I'm not saying he's Anthony Miller, but we don't know what the hell is going to happen. These guys, it's not like he's DJ Moore, who's put a 4,000-yard season. Darnell Mooney has 1,000-yard race. Chase Claypool is established. Cole Kmet is established. Robert Tonyan is established. These guys are established. They have produced in the NFL at a high level. Nobody on the Green Bay offensive side of the ball has, other than Aaron Jones. That's who they got. Mm-hmm. Stop Aaron Jones and you shut down their whole offense, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. That's just talking football.
That's facts.
I mean, if you just go through the positional players, you know what I mean? Like, I'd rather have the Bears wide receivers. Mm-hmm. I'd rather have Justin Fields. You know, the running back situation, I think the Bears from top to bottom is better. But Aaron Jones is kind of like, you know, he's a dog.
He's a dog.
He's sorry or nothing like that. He can play, right? And he's got speed and all of that stuff. But, you know, if you don't have a really good passing game and you have to load it up on Aaron Jones, can he withstand that? Can he hold up? Can he be the bell cow type of running back? I don't know. You know, of course, you got A.J. Dillon. That's a nice little backup or whatever. But, you know, we'll see what happens. And then on the defensive side of the ball, like I said, I like our linebackers. I like our secondary. I like the pieces that we have there. You know, there is something that needs to be done with the defensive line, but we do have some pieces. And the biggest thing about the defensive line that I could say is that even though we don't have, you know, you got Yannick Ngakoue, and he's never produced a season less than 8 sacks. Mm-hmm. So you can pencil him in for 8 sacks at least. That's better than anything we even dreamed of having last year, right? When Brisker led us with 3 sacks last year. So, yeah, from the safety position. So, you know, you got Yannick out there, and then you also have this situation where you have some inexperience with some of the rookies that we have, right? But at the same time, you can rotate those guys in. So it's going to be fresh bodies coming in. Play after play after play, right? So that's what I look for the Bears defensive line to do. While we may not have this heavy hitter, Khalil Mack or, you know, Nick Bosa or something like that, we do have a situation where we can rotate guys, just bring fresh bodies in. They're young, they're athletic, you know what I mean? They'll be able to do some things out there. So I'm looking forward to it. I think they can grow. And you'll see some guys either step up or they'll take a step back and we'll get rid of the guys that don't produce.
Yeah, and also Jones and Billings, they aren't all pros and nothing, but those are veterans. They're not getting blown off the ball.
Yeah. Solid players.
Yeah, they're not getting blown off the ball. You're not gonna be pushing them 15 yards down the field. You know what I mean? They go and that's good because that's when you can get Edmonds and Edwards, they can do that job. You know what I mean? They can be clean. And then they can go to work. Same thing as DeMarcus Walker. He's a big dude. These dudes are strong, and they can hold at the point of attack that a lot of linebackers to do their job. Because if they can at least hold their job, then Edwards and Edmonds are going to go sideline to sideline, hitting Brisker's going to be down there hitting people. So, I'm trying to stop the Green Bay rushing attack. And if Jordan Love airs me out, which I doubt, with those young wide receivers and tight ends, then so be it. I'm going to take my chances on Jordan Love throwing the ball 30 times against our secondary. Good luck.
All right. Exactly. No, that's right.
Good luck. I'll live with that.
And that's that.
Oh, shoot, fellas. That's what it is, man.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to it, man. We're going to do we might do a spaces for the game and whatnot.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
All right, we can do the spaces for the game and invite some folks in. Y'all mess with us, man. We appreciate everybody that rocks with us, of course. As always, looking forward to a nice season.
Yes, sir.
Ain't nothing like football season.
Facts.
We back, baby.
Yeah, we back. So another show next week. Ready to hit y'all with it again. So hopefully we come back 1-0 and bear down.
Bear down, baby. Peace.
Down, peace.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. One last thing. Green Bay sucks.
Facts. And we out.
We out. Peace.